This.
You will have the questions and then.
Oh, yes. This is the interview with Elizabeth Zuckerman Blyman of West Walnut Park Lane.
Drive.
West Walnut Drive, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And we will proceed with her interview in just one moment. Mrs. Blyman, would you please tell me where you were born and when, and a little about your family?
I was born 1921, July 10th, in Oferhertel, Szabolcsmegye, Hungary. My father, Janusz Zuckerman, and my mother, Grünwald Rosa. My mother, well, actually, she died in 1926, and my father remarried in 1929. I went to school in Debrecen in Hungary and finished in 1937.
Was it a Jewish school?
Jewish high school.
Jewish high school.
Yes. Elementary school. The first grade, the first four grades, I went in Oferhertel in my home town. After then, in a Jewish high school gymnasium in Debrecen.
Was that a distance from your community? Did you have to live away from home?
I lived with my aunt there. In 1937, when I went home, I lived with my parents. I had a sister and a brother. And I was the oldest girl. So in those days, as it was, you know, I almost got married. I had was engaged, but the time started to be bad in Hungary. We already noticed, not noticed, felt my father was in business, and they felt the hardship in business in the anti-Semitism, but was already beginning in the country.
So the business conditions started to suffer because of anti-Semitic feeling, not because of the economic situation in the country as a whole.
Well, the economy, no, not as a whole, because of the anti-Semitism. In universities, started numerous clauses, but was cut out for the Jews in a certain percentage just to continue study.
Right.
And so I was at home. In 1939, my father was called in the working army,
mm-hmm.
and he was there a year in 1940. He came back in 1940, and in that time my brother was called in. My sister was still away in school. She attended after she finished, what year was that, in 1940, yes. She went back to Debrecen and attended university as a student who was not enrolled in the school. She just was like a listen to lecture.
Mm-hmm. Auditing courses.
Yes, but she was not enrolled. So I was at home with my mother and father and just lived mm-hmm. the life of a young mm-hmm. girl. Mm-hmm.
Did your family have any experiences with anti-Semitism before the Hitler period? Did you feel any anti-Semitism on the part of your neighbors or people in your village?
My parents was very well liked in the community, and as business people as in private.
Mm-hmm.
So we did not feel from our close, relation with in the community
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
anti-Semitism. Mm-hmm. Whatever we experienced just came from high.
from the government, as I say, in business contacts or through this, but not in the community.
And you said that your father served in the workforce that was attached to the Hungarian army, and your brother was
after when my father came home.
He served how long?
My father, about a year.
Uh-huh. And they discharged him?
They discharged him, and then it is the younger group was called in, my senior brother.
And how long did your brother serve?
My brother was from 1940 until he was freed, till 1945.
Mm-hmm.
So he was over 4 years.
Mm-hmm. So did the German invasion of Poland in September of 1939 cause changes in your situation at home?
Well, the situation and not necessarily at home. The only thing that we already were talking about it, what will be the next.
I see.
You know, we did not live in a necessarily in a fear, but we did. We did talk about it.
In other words, at that point in time, you were becoming very concerned about your own situation.
Mm-hmm. We were concerned about it, and as I say, in business, we start to feel it, even if it was not as oppressed in Hungary as it was in Poland, the Jews, but it came already from the government in certain restrictions.
Mm-hmm.
It was not the store yet, and not everything taken away, but it became the restrictions.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when my father had to make all the details, everything, you know, what you own and what you, every little thing they had to
inventory. And that had to be handed over to the authorities?
Yes.
Did the Germans move into your community? Were there German officers?
No. Your question was in 1939, the beginning.
Yes.
No.
Oh, they were not on the scene yet, right?
No.
Okay.
The Germans came only in 1944.
Well, would you tell me, because some of these questions don't apply exactly to your situation, when did your family have to leave their community, and where were you deported to, and how were you deported?
The Germans came into Hungary in March 1944. Then it became, it was, in, you know, we had to wear a yellow star, and at the business, you know, they started to, you could not, it was like a curfew, you could not go out after evening certain hours. When you travel, you have to take, always you have to have your identification, whatever. You couldn't go in certain long distances, so it was certain regulation you had to follow. That was in March. In end of, so then already we fared what will come next. In end of April, it was after Passover, when we heard that, I mean, it came the order that all the Jews, we had to leave our, we will be go in a certain place in another town, so we can take along as much as we can carry with ourselves, and that they gave us 2 days to get ready. And it was, I think, as I remember, they did not say where we go or what will be with us, but you know what we will do. We're gonna sleep there, and we will get further instructions. So whatever we could, as I said, I was home with my parents, and we started to pack whatever we make, like sacks we you know, whatever he could to sew and put together food and clothing and whatever we could carry, you know. And everything else we left, and we had to stay, as I said, they gave 2 days, and we had to get ready the, in an early morning. I think it was a Sunday morning, I came to the Ministry for a day. And the front of, well, it was the main street, in fact, the front of our house, is it was some wagons, with horse and wagons, you know. And we were, we just carried to this next city, what was about 30 kilometers from us, from our place. And the name was Kisvárda. So there was like a ghetto was made, you know, from a lot of these small towns. The people were brought together. And there, you know, it was a place apart where it was separated for us. And
was it all outdoors?
No,
was there buildings?
No, it was buildings. It was buildings there. And we had to make our, like, our, they did not tell us how long we're going to stay and how long we're going to, so we had to make our home there. Well, the home, it was as it was a couple of big rooms and as many people, you know, for a room.
Do you remember how many people were roughly, approximately, were put into the room?
Well, it was, I don't remember, maybe 20 for, you know, sections. It was places. Because, as I, we were there, if that was the beginning of, end of April, beginning of May. You know, in May already, in Hungary getting, well, I mean, here too, it's getting warmer and nicer, so the most of the daytime we were out to get together to talk what's going to be. It was starting to do something, you know, but maybe it did not know how long to stay or what will be there. So things have to be worked. They started to fix up the place, everybody. I, myself, the first thing it was because a lot of old people were there. So they made like a revere, like a little infirmary, a little hospital, you know. So was there a doctor and they asked who wants to help. So my husband, my father, the doctor was one of our friends, so that will be very good if I will help him out as a nurse. It was no other nurses there, you know. So I, by the way, starting to make, from a sheet, I made myself a
uniform.
And I was helping out in this other place, where what we call the hospital. They brought out just the emergency cases and elderly people. So we were hearing that, you know, a place about 6 weeks.
Did it have a name? Did the area that you were concentrated in?
It was a ghetto, you know.
A ghetto, but
in Kisvárda, it was no.
A ghetto, say that again, a ghetto in?
In Kisvárda.
In Kisvárda.
Kisvárda. That was the name of this town. There we go.
Could I just ask you that, did the people in, that were in the ghettos or in your community before you got into the ghetto, did you have any knowledge of what was happening to Jews in Poland and in countries surrounding you that had already been invaded by the Nazis? Word must have spread through.
We did hear something. In fact, my mother, my stepmother's family who lived in Czechoslovakia, they were already, some of them, deported in 1941. And we got a postcard from her sister-in-law in around the end of 41 and 42 that we were taken here in Poland. And she wrote Jewish, you know, and with a few Hebrew words in there. And She said, they are working in the field. They don't give us, we don't have us to eat, and we take potatoes from the ground and whatever we can supplement what they give us, and we are in a terrible shape. So, you know, it was written with Yiddish and with Hebrew that the authorities should not understand. I mean, they didn't. So my mother from that time already, you know, what will be with us, what will be with us. But so we always hope that, you know, it will not come too hungry.
Mm-hmm. You were that's hoping the war would end.
The war would end. Mm-hmm. We heard about, you know, the war was on. And when it changed, because it changed what we was in Polish war in the beginning, when the Germans started in Russia, you know, I remember we were in home yet at around Passover, after, before we went to the ghetto, and uncle had a bachelor, uncle was with us, and we heard we was sitting outside, and like kind of a noise, you know, like guns, and from far away from the car park, and just the mountains around the country. He said, oh my, the Russians, I guess all the Russians are coming. How good they're here already. They're coming closer, you know. The Germans will not have time to invade Hungary.
Mm-hmm.
They will be safe.
So
that was in April, in 1944, before we went to ghetto.
Mm-hmm.
So we did know about it. We did not know how bad it is.
Mm-hmm.
We did not, I don't think we talked about it. We did not hear about gassing.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Mm-hmm. But we heard about the people disappear. And we did not know where. But I said as before, they took away families, and they somehow, some of them came back. So we always looked those who came back,
mm-hmm.
who did not come back, so we did not know what happened to them.
But it never occurred to anyone that they may have been killed or...
Not at home. Not mm-hmm. until we were at home. Well, if it did occur, we did not talk about it. As I said, we were in a small community.
Mm-hmm.
There was I was not in Budapest, so it was there already. Maybe they had the communication. It was not between the
mm-hmm.
places. We could not travel.
Mm-hmm.
As I said, you know.
Excuse me, how far was your community from Budapest?
From Budapest, oh, we were far. We were 270
mm-hmm.
kilometers, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that is far there.
Mm-hmm.
Here is not as far today, but in those days, we trained.
Mm-hmm.
It took a day to travel.
Mm-hmm.
So we did with a train.
Mm-hmm.
So that was far.
When you went into the ghetto, you worked in the hospitals,
mm-hmm.
and your
hospital, makeshift hospital,
right, right. And you were confined there for what length of time?
I was there until we were sent to Auschwitz, until we were deported.
And was it weeks or months?
About 6 weeks.
About 6 weeks
about
in this ghetto.
In this ghetto.
Yeah. And then what kind of deportation did you go through from your ghetto to Auschwitz?
Well, the deportation was the first time of my, they said, we did not know where we go and what's going to be with us. So they said, it's good if you are working, you will be working there also, so better if you go where you're working, where the place where you are working. So my father wanted to go with the hospital, with these the people who were sick and this. Then some news came that it's better if the families going together, because if you go with a unit where you are working and your family will be put in a different working place, then you will be separated. So there was my father, my mother, and me. So I said my sister and brother was not there.
What happened to your sister and brother?
My sister, as I mentioned earlier, she was in school.
Mm-hmm.
Meantime, she got married. While away in that, you know, she got married, and in 1944, before we went to the ghetto, she got a baby. She lived in Szeged in that time, what was another big city in Hungary. Her husband was a half Jew and a half, So as though Szeged was a more assimilated city.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Jews there were more assimilated. It was a lot of mixed marriages, so it was more assimilated. She could hide there at the beginning more, no one knowed her, and
mm-hmm.
no one there, so they were there. When we, after the ghetto, we did not hear about her.
Mm-hmm.
So when we went in the ghetto, she was there. After then, she went up, they moved up, she and her husband moved to Budapest
mm-hmm.
with a baby.
Mm-hmm. When your family was transported
to the ghetto,
and
she moved to Budapest
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
from Szeged.
Mm-hmm.
And my brother was in the army, in this
work.
I was one with my parents.
So you went to Auschwitz then, you decided to go as a family unit?
As a family, with my aunt, uncle, with the children, and my father, mother, and me, and the whole. And then, you know, they came the cattle cars and the station there, and we were jammed in, just like you saw it in the pictures, without any telling where you go. But they told where you go into work. You go into work. Where? Nowhere, just you will go to work. Without any explanation or without anything, it was no questions asked, and you had to do what you were told. And it was, I don't know anybody who escaped even from the ghetto. It was not, I don't think it was guarded that strongly.
Mm-hmm.
As it, I really don't know that we did believe that. Waiting for us. I mean, it just was not any. We did not know. We thought that we are going to work, and things are bad. But as long as the family was together, so we will stay together and we will work together.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever hardship it, but it was. Not until we get to Auschwitz, when we, the day already on the train, it was already horrible,
mm-hmm.
you know, it is jammed in women, children, men,
mm-hmm.
days after days, we couldn't, and I just recall a lot of times that a little cousin, she was 3 years old, a beautiful little girl, and this little girl was all the way, like talking, like a little bird singing, and
mm-hmm.
like kept alive everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, was when it, somebody was crying and was terrible. So it's and then we got there. Certain things, you know, as I can't get to do, I can't recall. A lot
mm-hmm.
of times,
yes.
like
mm-hmm.
how it was. What
mm.
is this?
What happened
in between?
Yes, and you.
I don't know.
I can't remember that.
I come there. I remember when we arrived. Certain things are so
mm-hmm.
clear in mind,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah.
And other things, I just get over.
Mm. Well, when getting back to the ghetto, you say the ghetto was not strongly supervised or with soldiers, so that. But no one was thinking in terms of escaping or trying to get back to their community, to their home, out of the ghetto. That
oh, they could not go back to their homes.
Mm-hmm.
They were watched.
Mm-hmm.
They just could go away, you know, like escape, like
mm-hmm.
a prisoner escape
mm-hmm.
from somewhere. If no one recognizes you,
mm-hmm.
or if you could escape if somebody helped you.
Mm-hmm.
It was one time when my father, said, maybe I should go.
Mm-hmm.
I was, but I did not want to go, or I was, I just did not want to go, you know, afraid or what. So I said, I stay with you, and would not want to go. But you have to be afraid. I mean, they could get you, cut you, and they put you back where you were, so just beaten up, and that's it.
Do you remember when you first heard that Jews were being murdered in mass numbers or being gassed? Did you believe these reports?
No. No. I mean, we did not really hear that were gassed. We heard, as I said, that we got that call that was that they've taken away from homes, and they were worried about that. Was a terrible thing, you know. Already they take away everything, confiscated, and you know, they were well-to-do people, and that, and they have to work on the fields. That was terrible also, but we did not hear it. They were.
And when you got to Auschwitz, you did not realize
to Auschwitz.
You didn't know it was a death camp, though, at that time, did you?
Then something already did. We did. Then my mother said, you know, my mother was very bad already in the train. And then she said, we're going to be killed. She did not say how or what, but we will be killed. We will be killed when we get there, whatever we do, that will be the end of it. All right, he still said that, you know, we will be together, you know. When we get to Auschwitz, then somehow we feel that we get up from the train. And I don't know if you saw the picture, but that's the way it was. The man goes one side and the woman on the other side.
So you were immediately separated?
Immediately from my father. So we just, you know, kissed each other, and then we went on the other side, and I hold on my mother, you know, she was already all broken down, although she was a young woman.
Emotionally, she was shattered.
Yes, she was only 40 years old. So, and I hold up for them. Besides, came this aunt with the three children, you know, with the little one. So she hold up her children, she hold her children, and after them came other women. And as she went first, my aunt with the children in front of us, have to go in line, and she was pushed right away. One for me, it comes under, you know, it's just the opposite. But there was the German, and there didn't. And I say myself that she was pushed on the right side. You always see that they were pushed on the left, and she was pushed with the children that way. And then I came with my mother, and my mother was in this side, and I was on the left side. And he pushed my mother this way and caught at me off on that way. And I hold it to my mother, and I said, I want to go with her. You know? And then he looked at me and gave me a knock, as they said, and throw me down on the ground. So meantime, already, there where I went, on the other side, my mother went right away to the gas, and I was there. Like, you know, already people came after me, I was there, and they thought I had to get up and go.
Mm-hmm. Was that the last time that you saw your mother in the camp? And your father too? You never saw him after that?
Well, then already, you know, as soon as we got here, in the other side, those who were, that we went, you had to go fast in line and pushed each other. That was in Auschwitz. So we went to there to get the to that, so they call it, to take the shower, to get all clothes, to get undressed, and shave your hair, and that. But they already said that, yeah, at least you are alive. The other ones went to, we heard already.
That they quickly, already. within that
I
same
mean,
period of time.
Not those who came with us, those who were working there, and you are alive, those went to the gas, you know, and just the smell. No, it was just horrible. You know, you could not. I just thought I can't breathe. It's taking you.
How old were you?
I was 23.
You were 23.
22.
And what did you do in? What type of work did they have you do in Auschwitz?
Well, in Auschwitz, I did not do anything. We arrived there in July. See, I don't have even numbers on my own, no, because it was already too late. I mean, they did not have the time for everybody fast. And in the meantime, they had already problems from this, so they didn't. So we arrived in July from all different parts of the country. I had nobody whom I know before. I was not together with anybody in Auschwitz from my friends, not from my family, anyone who I know. Later, I met a couple, so I was very.
sea level.
Sea level. And I was on the third one. River Fire was there. And the next to me was a woman, but she was at least 10, 15 years older. I did not ask how she was. But she took me like you know, like it's not a daughter, but an older sister. So we started to stick together. She was in another part from the country. And
Hungarian?
A Hungarian woman, yes. She had some friends there. She was from Marosvásárhely. And we said, she has no one, I had no one, so we will stick together. So let's do that, at least we have somebody. And we really did, when I cried and she tried to comfort me, when she was sad, and I thought to talk to her. And that's the way we, at night we wake up, we heard the screaming, then we already know our plakatesse was from Czechoslovakia. She was not as bad as the young one who was, helped her, the couple. They said, then already we heard the stories, you know, that she was maybe 15 years old, and they said that she was already 3 years before with the German soldiers in the front. And she couldn't stand an older person. The young one felt, the young one, she just screamed. But when she saw an older one, then she hit with she was a Jewish girl too.
And she was the capo.
And she was the, you know. Yes. And
she treated
the older,
so inhumane.
Terrible. So, but they said it because she became like a mad, you know, from the experience of what she went through, you know. And then mostly we were the Hungarians, the well-fed Hungarians who just came. They had already 3 years behind them, some of them,
mm-hmm.
you know. So it's not funny. It
no.
was very, you know, the thing of how the hatred, because we just came, but it was a real, you know, like it was our fault or that they were there,
mm-hmm.
and they suffered more, and they went through more than we did.
Were the capos German or Polish? Do you know the nationalities?
These were Polish. She was a Polish
Jewish
girl. I don't know what happened to her,
mm-hmm.
because. So I was in Auschwitz in June, end of June and July. And then, what is in Auschwitz, as they appear that process. Okay, early in the morning, you have to get up and stay in line, and you get the five in one can, and they give each other the soup what we got in the morning and evening, a piece of bread.
And that was your food ration for the whole day?
For the whole day.
A can of soup?
Not a can. A can was for five persons. The first one had the can, and we drink from, she got that in it, and we give it one to the other. That's the way we got it in Auschwitz.
Mm-hmm.
So five, drink a little bit from
out
that.
Of one cup?
It was
a container.
Container, whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got your...
And at night you got a piece of bread.
Later you got the bread, yes, then on the afternoon. And you stand, you know, in the row, and you waited on your... a lot of times I couldn't even eat this, and she always, her name was like my Böschke also, and she told me, we will make it. And somehow I still did have the feeling that I will get out from there. I don't know why, but I...
Mm.
And then came a German prisoner who was working in the lager also. You know, they came in sometimes to do some work. I was in Lager C. And he told me, it was an older man, I don't know how old he was, without any teeth, without any death. And he told you, just get away from Auschwitz. But the first transport that ever comes, and they select him, to, although you don't know where you go, you should get away from here, you know. He was talking to us there. We were, one day he came in, and I was crying there on the top. And he said, why are you crying? If you're crying, you will never make it. He said, there is nothing, no crying. The Russians are already coming, and maybe it will be an end. And you know, it was this my friend who was listening, you hear, and then we did that thing. So he said, we have to go away from here. We have to go away from this. So the next time it came, a man gallery day. But you know, I do not, I can't distinguish between them. It just came with the dog, I was not as long in a place that I could remember how exactly everything it was. So when came this selection, so she said, oh, my friend said, we will go. No, we will go, we try to get in there.
May I ask you a question? You say when the selection came, would they come into the barracks? Would someone come into the barracks and
not in the barracks. We had to get out.
Oh, you had to go out into the
stay in line.
I see.
Stay in line. And then usually he showed, you know, showed the you mm-hmm. for that. But you managed to go in the line in sometimes in this line, in that line, you run from one place to the other. So in that, if you got meantime beaten, then you were beaten there. But you tried something.
Mm-hmm. You had a feeling. You had a feeling that if you got into
an instinct,
if you got into the other group, that there was a
maybe
chance of getting of being saved.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, getting away from this gas chamber.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we got in both of us there, and we ran away from Auschwitz. We did transport
again in a cattle car
and again don't know where, but we already did not, family we did not have,
yeah.
And we had nothing anyhow.
Mm-hmm.
So we went away from Auschwitz, the gas chamber here was behind us. Then we went to, we didn't know where
they,
we
did
go.
They tell, they, again they did not tell you where
oh,
you
no,
were going.
We never
no,
them,
they didn't
so
tell you another work camp, nothing.
No. But usually when it was a selection, this kind of a selection, that was, it was known that they're going to work. And we did not work in Auschwitz. I did not work. See, those who work was better off.
Mm-hmm.
But those who did not work, German said it, and everyone said that. I mean, then at that time already went the rumor. Those who do not work, sooner or later, will end up in the gas
chamber.
So then you try to get away, those who could. Now in Auschwitz, well, this is another story. I had a cousin who had a baby there. Later But I was alone, and that's the way I was, so I got away from Auschwitz. We again went maybe 2-3 days in this cattle car, and we arrived at place. Yeah. We arrived finally. We arrived in Stutthof.
Stutthof?
Stutthof. That was the name of the...
You know what country that was?
Oh, this was in Poland.
In Poland. Still in Poland.
Oh, what was just as bad as Auschwitz.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I did not know where I am going.
Mm-hmm.
So we got there, in a way, in that time was even worse, because Stutthof was so overcrowded. So many people were there, and was a terrible, I don't know his name, but it was, although he was famous, how terrible he was, that man.
Who was in charge of
the camp. He was, in a way, just like Mengele. I've never heard his name, I don't know, I don't know.
A German, a Pole?
A German.
Mm-hmm.
A German, a Pole, it is always, I think it was a German. The head of the camp was German, always. Only the couples, they were the Polish or whoever they were, but
mm-hmm.
the head was always. So we were in there already was no, it was a barrack, it was covered and it was high walls, but it was no, when we went there, it was no, I mean, not even these sleeping
levels.
It was everything on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everything, it was some sand, and on the sand was some kind of a, you know, something mixed in it or something. So we all was on the
all
floor.
All slept on the floor.
It was summer, you know, it was end of July. It was terrible heat.
Mm.
Heat and stink, and there was a chamber too, a gas chamber. And we did not know what was going to be, so we were already sorry that we came here, but we were already there. And every day came back, the appeal was the same, you know, the order was the same, it had to be the same 5 line, and he was even hitting more than over there, so it was just terrible. So we already know that we have to somehow get away from here too, but we did not know how. So we then they, day after day, sometimes we heard, they brought back women, half burned, the skin was, you know, their skin from the sun, there was the sun terrible. Terrible, all day you stay out in here too, but there was half. And they came back they going to be gas. But they said the place where they come from, there was work. They were working, you know, they just brought back who was already out. So again, we have to go somewhere, you know, here is no work, and the condition was just horrible. So we try to get away again, and we already work together, the two of us.
Mm-hmm.
So she was very nice. I mean, it is. So she said, well, we will go within the valley. We will try to go anyhow away to somewhere.
Did you try to escape through a selection? Or
through a selection.
Again.
It was a selection.
Yeah, there was no chance of breaking away from leaving the ground.
We were in deep in Poland, and I never even thought about it. Mm-hmm. No, we were not in condition, and not everybody was your enemy. Nobody would hide you or any. And to escape, really, you have to be. We never.
You had to know the terrain. You had to know the area. You had to know the terrain.
You had to know. Well, yeah. Or you had to be in. I never thought about it.
Mm-hmm.
No, none of us never thought about it.
So again, a selection was.
Again, was a selection, and we sent to a place, and that was a working place.
You to a working place.
Yes. Then we already. It was not a transport. It was just like a big truck. We a car. We did not know where it goes, and I was. Whenever I saw an army truck, which one is covered, you know, with this gray, there's even no, it goes something, but it's under it.
Mm.
So we the truck by that, we were taken, but where we're going to take, but we were selected, so we had some hope, you know, that we will be, maybe it's just another place, and maybe we will go to work. And yes, we went, we were taken to a work camp.
Do you know the name of the camp?
The name was, I don't know the name of the, it was close to a town called Proust. Proust was the town. And we were close around there, because it was in nowhere in between. We were starting to build, they were starting an airport, we were told, that's what it was. And I think that they were putting down different work that we've done, but we were putting down cables. You know these cables. Sometimes I'm going here, and the man, you know, some workman with the electric driller doing the payment. We did this payment with picks, with this pickaxe, you know, the pickaxe. I used to show my tattoo in my muscle.
Mm-hmm.
I got it from there. So that's what we were doing. And well, the payment and the sand land for about, I think, a yard and a half deep in the payment. And when they say, you know, that they don't know anything about it, we were working in the city too, in the town.
Mm-hmm.
We were working. So they saw the woman coming to within the pickaxe and the, I mean, the population,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then today they don't know anything about it.
Mm.
So there we were, and well, I had a different, I was already from, I was at this, I get different kind of furunculus and my, you know, this furunculus, this pimples.
I say, like wart, boils.
Boils, yeah.
Yes.
Terrible pain.
Yeah.
So here we were that much better treated because we were working. It was around 400 women in this camp.
Mm-hmm. Just women. Just women.
Mm-hmm. Already all the time was just women. Wherever I was, only was women. And different commandos went out in the morning. You know, it was a wire fence around us. Every morning we went out in commandos, and every night
they brought you both?
They came in, yes. And
did they give you medical treatment for your problem?
Well, we had an infirmary, they called it, there too. But everybody, most of the people was afraid to go there because, you know, if they caught you there, then the next step was gas from the
gas.
But that's for that. I couldn't go for that. I ran in. So she cut it out. It was a woman doctor there.
German, do you know, or Polish?
No, a Jewish.
A Jewish,
not German. Mm-hmm. It was a Jewish woman doctor. One of the also.
Well, one of the prisoners.
Of the prisoners. And, well, she cut it out. Oh, it's terrible. You know, nothing. There's nothing. I have to go back to work. So I went back to work and did it. And a couple was a little Hungarian girl, a Jewish girl. You know, she was, so they called me Suki. You know, Suki, mm-hmm. This is a shortening for mm-hmm. Zuckerman. Suki.
Oh.
And she said to me, so I stand there, it was raining, I remember that. There's again, you have something that you can see just as it was. I stay there, and I couldn't do that as you. You know,
you couldn't do the physical work.
Physical work is just like it would be. It went in with night, even with it again. And I was standing there, and she came there to me. And she said, you must do it. I said, what do you mean I must do it? I cannot do it. It's terrible, painful. But what can you do with it? I cannot do it. She said, you know what, she had to say it, I had mm-hmm. to do it, because the German, the SS man was around there, but he was not there, she was instead of. But without any, you know, understanding, I just felt such a terrible thing. And she again, she said, you have to do it, you have to work, and we have to finish this, and she started to howl at me. So I answered to her back, I said, you're going to tell me what I have to do? I don't want to do it, whatever it happened, I don't want to do it. No, she said, you do it. And she picked up her hand. She wanted to slap me, you know. And then she wanted to slap me. I picked up my hand and I gave it to her or whatever. And it's my husband.
Hello.
You ready to go? Mrs. Tall.
You were describing the treatment of this young capo, insisting that you...
Should work. I should work. Yeah. So then... You know, and then the SS man noticed that I picked up my hand off the cup. Mm-hmm. That was not allowed to do either.
Mm-hmm.
So he came and he gave me the SS man.
He beat you?
He beat me. So after then, you know, that was the end of that. I got back bloody in the barrack and next time I, you know, whatever I could do, I just...
You didn't go for medical help with
no,
that?
It was
no. Well, what happened the next day? Were you able to go back to work?
I went back to work, and I, you know, tried to do whatever I could, if it was not, maybe, I don't know if she came back or she tried to avoid me. It was not, was no follow-up after
mm-hmm.
that, she did not. So what it, but you know, sometimes you felt as if between the capo and the rest of them could have a little more understanding
mm-hmm.
or a little more feeling.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody is, you know, she thought it is that was her job to do it. I don't know what happened to her, if she came alive or. You know, we were there at the end of the, during the dinner, I was in that place.
You stayed, how long did you stay in this second work camp?
That was my first work
camp.
It was the only camp that I was working. This, I spent about 4 months.
Were you liberated
from? No, it was terrible. Well, at the beginning was terrible hot.
Mm-hmm.
And the working, as I said, it was, I did this type of a job, not always, whatever it came, but they were building there something also, and in some part of this place, of this, it was a large, I think it was an airport, So they were working French prisoners, men.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes in the morning, when we went to work, they went to work also, and we passed by.
Did you communicate with them?
Well, that's what I... This, my friend, she spoke French.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them, the soldiers gave a little note, you know, sometimes some of the girls or the others. She was who translated. So they gave us already some news for encouragement. So they did not have much either, but they used to get some Red Cross packages or something. And one of them wrote, you know, little messages. Sometimes they could, they are, you know, how advancing the Russian one place, American the other place. You just have to
hold on,
and you just have to. So when we are already very down,
mm.
then that was what it kept.
It kept your spirits
it
going.
It kept
yes.
the spirit
mm.
going.
Mm.
Nothing other special, but end of the, and then. It was, so summertime was terrible hot. We had to keep somewhere covered ourselves from the sun.
Yes.
So there was these paper bags, you know, from cement. It's from the cement.
Yes, yes.
That's what we tried to cover
you
ourselves.
You cover your bodies with a cement bag.
Cement bags that they should not burn. Then these cement bags later, it is in winter when it came getting colder, but we did not have good clothes there either, you know, but we had a this striped dress and that's what kept us. But in around December, it got terrible cold, just the way it was hot summer, that cold got in winter.
Mm-hmm.
And end of, beginning, I think January, it was the snow and there, so when we still was working in the snow, whatever we could do, we went there. But then the Russian came. They heard us, the Russian getting closer, and we had to move.
Could you hear any artillery or guns?
Well, we thought we did. You
mm-hmm.
know, maybe we did.
I
don't
remember.
Know, but
yes.
we were ready to move.
But the camp was going to move at that
the
point.
The camp had to be
evacuated.
It's not only because camp has to be evacuated because other ones came. Before we were evacuated, we people in the same
in
camp,
size.
In the size, because they already evacuated people from other
from
camps.
From other camps were coming into your
closer,
camp.
That's
yes.
right. So then already, you know, with the evacuation, and there were so many, you didn't know who is going, who is not mm-hmm. going. We were, in that time already, we were five of us who were keeping together, two other friends of us and another of mine. So it was already, who will go together and we'll see what, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So we did not have any shoes. Shoes we did not have, so just some kind of. So we of these sacks and these paper bags that we have, that is under our. That's the way we covered ourselves.
Uh-huh.
And that's the way we started to march. You know,
with
that
paper wrapped around your feet.
But wherever we could cover ourselves, you see. So you see, I talk about that without any. I mean,
you lived through it. That was enough.
Yes.
Mm.
So then we started and we went and in snow and in freeze and mud and whatever through villages, through we were in churches. We were in where we stopped and they gave us somewhere some little soup, somewhere some little bread. Whatever already was no more.
But you were marching.
And
you were marching in groups.
We were marching up in groups. Of course,
yes,
we were
yes.
up in groups.
And were you guarded?
Yes.
Yes.
Of course, guarded. Who could not march? It was shot out. In
they
the
killed them.
Killed them in the way. And then we in between it. We did not go in a row. We went between the in forest in sideways. You know what it was. Even the moving was sometimes harder in the snow and in and then we when it evening came then wherever we were, you know, there we in barns. So then this one of my girlfriend, she was there. We were she couldn't go any further, and she said she was all very little ice. Thank you.
whole apartment with everything. And then we were in Dearborn, so she was lame, so she said she gonna stay there. And you know, as I said before, it is understanding, and I was thinking of this. One night, they took her shoes off. She had, I don't know how she had, but she had a shoe.
Mm-hmm.
And something, and whatever, she little clothes or a kerchief or whatever. So next morning when we get up, she said, you see, she said, they took away, why didn't just wait until I die? She said, just wait until I die and then to take it away. Mm-hmm.
You were guarded in the barn?
In the barn, everywhere. Mm-hmm. The guards were still there. And we went, so, in fact, from that barn, we were around in a field, and they, one couple, went out at night, and they wanted to get us some potatoes. And they, this, as I told my friend, as it came back, as they grabbed the potatoes, as the way it was shot, you know, one of the girls, I did not know her, but it came back to that's the way she held the potato in her
hand. And she was caught and she was killed.
She was shot. Mm-hmm. So in that time already, a lot of them just they followed on the way that you did not know it is. I mean, you were in a group. You don't know. As I said, they were the five of us. I know these five, but I did not know already the rest of them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Nobody.
Yeah.
I mean, it is. And what could I do for her when she was already dead?
Mm.
So she died there. We were another day. She did.
They stayed, and your friend died.
She died then. And then we went. We marched again. We marched further. And we marched. We don't know where, and we don't know.
Do you have any idea how many days you were on this march?
Oh, we were about a week, two, 3 weeks. As we went, I got free to by Danzig. So how we got there? I don't know how we got there.
And so they were marching in what? Do you have any idea what direction they were marching in? North?
Toward Danzig. Danzig.
Mm-hmm.
So because in Danzig, you know, that is by the sea,
right,
and supposedly what we heard later, that they did it with a couple of them. They just put on the boat and then they sink the boat. I mean, in the water there. So it would have been, that's our fate or what it would have been, we don't know. But that's the way when we got there, and we got just the outskirts of the city, and it was a night, and we already couldn't go any further. We had to stay and wherever we were, we're gonna sleep there. And I remember we just were outside. It was not already indoors, but we had to some kind of a yard there. We were so huddled. I don't know how many. We already warned each other, you know. Mm-hmm. It was no. And at night. And we woke up in the morning. We heard. Of course, in that time we already heard the shooting and the.
You could hear the artillery.
Yeah. And the sirens and everything, but who wanted to, we were not afraid from anything. I mean, it is, we didn't have to escape or hide ourselves. So we came in this, we didn't see any people. People we did not see, but the Germans, who the SS men still was with us. So we just stayed there and in a group, and we lay down, and then we were holding together and fall asleep, you know. And it was half frozen and half dead and half alive. You fall asleep. You were glad you were sitting and you don't have to move and you have to go. And when we wake up, the Russian was there.
And
the next thing was, I know that it was you know, clearing, and the Russian came. He said, go, you are free. I will watch what I just heard what my friend said, that we are free. No one is around, no one is here. So we ran into the first house, whatever it was, and we see nobody there. You know, it was no one, and the house was empty, but it was food on the table, and it was a beautiful house. And
we sat down and there was every bus, you know, they have the speise kammer, as they call it, you know, the pantry.
Uh-huh.
And the pantry was full with everything, I know. So we started to eat, we started to eat, where everybody was hungry and out of everything. So we started to eat and to drink whatever we found, and one of them, you know, whatever it was. So we ate until we fall or half dead.